This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Now we'll hear a story from our partners at Stories Behind the Fog, a multimedia project that puts human faces on the problem of homelessness. After 23 years in prison, Cherry Frazier moved into a halfway house in San Francisco. She expected to stay the length of her parole, 5 years. But 3 years in, something happened to change that plan. Cherry sat down with Ariana Vanderplas to share her experience.
So I was released May 24th, 2013. And then I was sent to 111 Taylor, which was a halfway house, to find housing. And when I reached my three-year mark on my five-year maximum parole, my parole officer didn't tell me that he had filed the paperwork. On a Tuesday, the next Thursday, he comes and knocks on my door at 8, 9 o'clock at night, and he's like, has a UA cup in his hand. I said, okay, I'm ready, you know, because I don't use drugs, I don't drink, I don't do any of those things. And he goes, you haven't heard? So my heart fell a little bit. I was like, heard what? Mm-hmm. He says, you've been discharged off of parole. So I go to work the next morning at 9 o'clock, and when I come home at 5 o'clock, I couldn't get in the door. They told me it was against the law for me to be in the building because I was no longer on parole. So they took me up. I was able to grab one little bag, and then that was the day I became homeless. I would stay up for 3-4 days, walking all night. I actually would look for a bus stop to sit in. I didn't have a blanket. Didn't have a jacket, really a warm jacket, so I would look for places where I could get out of the wind, you know, to stay warm, or go down to the BART station where the warmth would come up between 12 and 4 once they closed. And then just, you know, wait for the BART to open and then sneak on BART, you know, ride the BART until you wake up. I was homeless for 8 weeks, which doesn't seem a lot compared to a lot of people, but I actually went through a lot of stuff during that time. Well, the most common people walking by, I just look at you like you have dirt on you, and they don't want to stop and speak. But most people, you know, they'll stereotype you. You know, like, why don't you get a job? I've never done this in my life, but, you know, I was hurting, I was hungry, you know, because maybe I would eat once a day. Some days I wouldn't eat at all. I took a sign and I was like, please help. Anything is a blessing. God bless you. And I had this lady down by the Embarcadero, and she walked by me. She was a black lady, very nice. You know, and she stopped me. She goes, you know, can I get you something to eat? And she took me to Subway and bought me a footlong sandwich and, you know, a coffee that morning. So, you know, and that really meant a lot.
What happened after the 8 weeks?
Mr. Cooks, he used to be the head deputy chief of parole. I called him and I would check in with him periodically, you know, even when I was homeless, and let him know how I was doing and stuff. So he told me one day, well, why don't you come back to the reentry service? So I said, well, look, they kicked me out because I don't have the funding. You know, I'm going to say, he goes, I got you. He got me the funding, he got me back in. But I'm not supposed to be there, so they're trying to keep it real hush hush, quiet, quiet. Like when I went to St. Anthony's and they took a group picture, I couldn't be in the picture. Because, you know, they don't want me to be seen by CDC or who it is, you know. At any day, they could ask me to leave. I'm not sure of what's going to happen tomorrow. So that's why I pretty much learn to live in the now every day, you know, and just take it as it comes each day. Just keep pushing forward, you know, because I could go home today and be touted to be homeless again on the streets.